News, sports, weather from Dr. Bill Williams, traffic info from Kane, and one of the Gulf Coast's most familiar voices. It's Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Arwig.
Good morning. It's Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5. Text line at there, 251-343-0106. I say that, barely checking the text line myself this morning.
Oh, I've been all over it, man.
I apologize. I'll have to get to it here. So we have been, you know, in the middle of quite a story in the city of Mobile. So we're going to lighten it up here this first half hour of the 8 o'clock hour and talk about a failing economy. So let's broaden our view and get away from the depressing local news,
right,
and jump right into the boiling pot of depressing national news.
Yeah, I don't know if it's, I wouldn't call it a failing economy, but I think that slowdown that's been projected may finally be here. They dropped these numbers this morning, and keep in mind, let's see, we're nearing the end of April. You have May, June, July, August, September, October. We're just over half a year away from the general election, and we know that, I think more than anything, and maybe you could disagree, I think the economy and how it's performing probably dictates more votes than just about anything else. You could say what you want. You can, you know, whether it's a social issue or whatever it is, but the money that is or isn't remaining in people's wallets and how much they have to spend on things, I think that's usually the main driver of where a vote goes.
Unless something emerges that for whatever, because that's such a, the economy is kind of like, it's always there. It's always an issue. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
If you get a, like the Democrats have done a great job of making this abortion their battle cry.
Right.
So the economy may not play as big a role in some minds as normally would be the case, but you would think every week going to the grocery store and noticing what you're paying, yeah, how much for what. If I'm noticing, I got to think that families that really budget up what they're doing and try to save every dime, they're certainly noticing.
Yeah, and you know, maybe previously I wouldn't have necessarily noticed every time I go to the store that I'm spending more, but since we started trying to budget,
yeah,
you know, a few years ago, it's just been incredible how much prices have gone up. Well, so the numbers today, they say U.S. economic growth for the first quarter of 2024 slowed and fell quite short of what economists even expected. The GDP expanded at a 1.6% seasonally and inflation-adjusted annual rate, and it's a pullback from last year's quick pace. I think they said it's the slowest growth we've seen in over 2 years, and you know where we were about 2 years ago, right?
Yeah.
Growth in the first quarter lagged behind the 2.4% that was projected by economists, and stock futures started to drop after this report came out. They said also the yields on benchmark 10-year treasuries ticked up slightly. American consumers are still spending heavily on health care, insurance, and other services. That's another thing. Insurance has gone up. But a slowdown in spending on goods such as cars and gasoline, as well as a decrease in businesses' inventory investments, weighed down the overall growth. And they say today's snapshot of the economy comes after a string of federal data in recent weeks suggested the American economy just keeps powering through the highest interest rates in 23 years. So far this year, employers around the country have added staff at higher rates than were projected. And why is that? Well, they say an influx of immigrants is boosting growth and tax revenues, according to economists, even as it strains government resources. And credit card companies have recently reported that customers are spending more than they did last year. But so some interesting data there. And I know that both presidential nominees, Biden and Trump, and their camps are looking closely at these economic numbers and seeing how they can use them in their election campaigns. But some new polling out, this from Bloomberg. Bloomberg News and Morning Consult, and they said former President Trump holds a clear lead over Biden in four of the seven battleground states that will likely decide the election. Now, I've seen some polls that have Trump up in six of seven or even all seven battleground states, but this Bloomberg News one has Trump up by 7 points in Arizona, 6 points in Georgia, 8 points in Nevada, and 10 points in North Carolina, a 10-point spread in the polling there. And I know the
That's
polling,
amazing.
It's not the end-all, be-all. We've seen plenty of polls wrong. They said Trump also leads Biden by 4 points in Wisconsin, which is just inside the poll's margin of error. In Pennsylvania, which is where Biden was born and drove a truck and hung
he
out
did
with
everything there.
Corn pop.
Yeah. That's where he got the news of the pygmies eating his uncle.
That's right. That's where we heard about it.
Yeah.
Trump led the president by a single point in Pennsylvania. And then in Michigan, this poll has Biden up by 2 points in Michigan. And then across the seven states surveyed there, the battleground states, they looked at the popular vote just for those seven states, and Trump up 49% to 43%. When they added in third-party candidates, and we'll see how many ballots Robert F. Kennedy Jr. ends up on, when they looked at the popular vote around those seven states, Trump was still up 5 points, 45% to 40%, while Kennedy pulled 7%, and then two other candidates, Cornel West and Jill Stein, each received 1% of the vote when they broke it out for the third-party candidates. But just for, I mean, at the last election, those swing states were the decider, right?
Yeah.
Biden won six of the seven states then, and now they have Trump up in a lot of these. So some interesting numbers coming out from this Bloomberg poll.
I'm looking at this Newsweek article. I don't know if you saw this, Dalton. Donald Trump's polling among, this is out today, his polling numbers among independent voters is falling ahead of the election.
Trump's numbers are?
Yep.
Is that what you said?
Among independent voters. In March, it was confirmed that Democratic incumbent Biden's going to face Trump, of course, with both winning enough delegates to secure those presidential nominations. Since then, a number of polls have sought to predict the result of the presidential election. Some have suggested Biden is in the lead. Others have predicted Trump will be the victor. In general, though, the polls show the candidates are neck and neck with 7 months until the polls open for real. A crucial body of voters that the pair will need to court is independents. But according to a Marist National poll of 1,192 registered voters, Trump may find this difficult as his support among independents has declined from 38%, and that was that might have been April of last year, maybe. Not exactly sure, but from 38% now down to 30%. Mm. And the names, Kennedy Jr. Is Cornel West actually an independent in the middle of all this?
Well, he's described as an independent. I think his most recent commentary was that neither party is getting it done, which I think he's right, but yeah. I'm not sure if many people want to follow Cornel West's direction.
No, I don't think so. He's not a serious candidate. He may imagine that in between his ears, he's a serious candidate. I know he's a serious man, but he's not a serious candidate. When two candidates are offered, Trump and Biden are tied among independents, and both have 49%. So that's when they eliminate everybody talking to independent voters, and it's just Trump against Biden. Anyway, that's the latest from Newsweek. So slipping among independents, I'm not exactly sure why or what that says.
Yeah, well, they're both efforting to get them on their side.
And when you break it down, you're down to not just five or six or seven swing states, but really districts in those states or city. You know, there's just as District 2 is going to be so big for Congress.
It really, and when you see polls that are just popular vote nationwide, you really kind of have to discard it.
Doesn't make much sense.
Right.
It doesn't mean, it has nothing to do with the game.
I mean, it's interesting numbers to see, but what really matters are those battleground states.
Sure.
And also, the reason behind votes in this Bloomberg poll, exactly what we were talking about earlier, economy, the top issue for swing state voters. 82% said the economy will be very important in deciding whom they vote for. 34% said it will be their single most important issue. And I think, you know, maybe I'm wrong. I think Trump would be, if the economy is what you're focused on, most important to you, he has to be leading those voters. And then right behind that, immigration ranked second. 15% in this poll said that immigration was their top issue. And then behind that, abortion and democracy tied for third at 9% each. And I imagine that is the, you have a lot of pro-life people who maybe have abortion as their top issue, but we know that the Democrats have made quote unquote pro-choice, their top issue going in.
What was that number again? The first issue being the
economy.
Yeah, the economy.
82% of the people in these swing states said it's very important. 34% said it is their single most important issue. Mm-hmm. And in addition to that, 70% said they view the economy as going in the wrong direction. 57% said the same about the economy in their own state.
So the numbers this morning also say the economy is not
slowing down.
It's not kind of being revitalized as quickly as we would want it to be. It's not progressing.
Yeah, and I wonder the role that Jerome Powell, will play, because people have been waiting to see if they're going to drop the interest rates, and they've been pushing it off. They're saying, no, we haven't seen it slow down enough. We haven't seen this take a big enough hit to start dropping that. Depending on when and if they do drop interest rates, then you'll maybe see a surge in home buying, car buying, big purchases, which would make the economic numbers look better, and possibly going into the election, see how that swings things too.
Well, it was really interesting, and I understood what she was saying the other day, might have been a week ago. Shannon Hesse was talking about people waiting on the interest rates to drop. Mm-hmm. Everyone's waiting. You know, they're not jumping into the market because they want to see if the interest rates drop.
Right.
She said she's with a Wise Living Real Estate, and she's on our little segment called Time to Get Real. I thought it was really good information, because the way she broke it down was, you can wait for the interest rates to drop, but if you do that, you're going to be in there with a lot. It's going to be a thicker number of people.
It's going to be a dogfight.
And the prices of the homes are not necessarily coming down. So she said, I wouldn't wait just to wait. Mm-hmm. You have to weigh it out. It's not cut and dried. Interest rates fall, I get the house that I want. Interest rates fall, you may now be in the market for a house, but you may not get the piece of property you want. Does that make sense?
Yeah, because, you know, if those interest rates drop, they won't drop to the number that a lot of people purchased homes for in years past.
Yeah.
So even if it drops from the 7% that it's hovering around now to 6% mortgage rate,
that's not where it
which was. Would be a major drop.
Yeah.
People still aren't going to be selling their homes necessarily, because they may be paying 2% on their mortgage.
Right.
And so you're still not going to have as many homes available.
It's going to be a tight market.
Home prices didn't drop like expected when home buying slowed down. So you'll see even more expensive homes in some of these cases.
Exactly. And you're talking about, for Shannon, she generally talks about things from a Baldwin County perspective. She pretty much discounts a lot of the national stories about real estate.
Mm-hmm.
So when you consider the robust real estate market in Baldwin County, if she's saying careful if you're just waiting on the rates to drop, I think it's something to listen to for sure.
And I think one thing that benefits Baldwin County is the amount of people
Wawa?
Who are
the Wawa?
Well, of course, the Wawa that brought
right.
up that bring right around Wawa is certainly having an effect on home prices. But that you have a lot of people who are retired and yep. trying to move down, and they might not be paying interest. They might be buying a home cash, right?
Yeah, exactly.
So there's a good still
point.
Homes being sold in Baldwin County. It's not necessarily like some of these cities where you're moving to work and you're going to put some money down and then pay a mortgage, 30-year mortgage. So a bit of a different story there in a lot of cases.
That's a great point, especially people moving from out of state, more expensive states. They may be able to come to Baldwin County and find a whole lot more home for the money. They've got the cash to pay, and they're almost like, this is a dreamland, man. I used to live out west, and it costs this much per square
yeah.
foot, and look what I can do now, and I'm at the beach, even though at the beach for them actually may be Stockton. But, you know, they're from Riverside, California, and they really don't know any better.
Right.
It's 8:21 with Dan and Dalton on FM Talk 106.5. Quickly, we'll get to the story that Dalton and I wake up one morning, and our boss is George Soros. We'll
what?
Touch on
when did that happen?
Well, it happened in conjunction with the Wawa. This is all one big deal. It's 8:21 with Dan and Dalton on Mobile Morning.
825 FM Talk 106.5. Coming to the text line here in a moment. 251-343-0106. Later this hour, your chance to win tickets to see Judas Priest, the Mobile Civic Center Arena. That show coming up May 12th. Also, Rob Holbert with Lanyap joins us to talk local news in just a few minutes. This segment brought to you by 1-800-GOT-JUNK. Trey Bennett, his crew. Trey's been running things with 1-800-GOT-JUNK Mobile for just a little bit longer than this station's been around, which we're going to have our 15th birthday coming up on May 1st, FM Talk 106.5. But Trey, he's got some great people that work with him at 1-800-GOT-JUNK and Mobile, making junk disappear, and they make it easy on you, the customer. Whether it's at your business or your home, all you have to do is point, and they'll be in and out in no time. You can get on with your day when you give them a call. They can come out and give you a free on-site estimate with all-inclusive pricing, so no hidden fees. They don't hit you with surprise charges when it's all said and done. One review, this one from Carol. 5 stars is what she gave 1-800-GOT-JUNK. She said, the team from Mobile was very professional and experienced. We just moved into a new house and had a lot of junk. Had to get rid of it and needed much help. We could not have done it without 1-800-GOT-JUNK. She endorses 1-800-GOT-JUNK, and so do we here at FM Talk 106.5. Call them today and set your appointment up. 1-800-GOT-JUNK is the number, and the website, 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com.
I think he had a story a couple of weeks ago about Soros and his company diving into media purchases.
Yeah.
Chip Roy of Texas is accusing the liberal billionaire of trying to fast-track his acquisition of a major radio company through the Federal Communications Commission. I write today regarding Soros Fund Management's acquisition of over $400 million in debt held by Odyssey, the second largest broadcast radio station owner in the country. Of particular concern is the Soros Group asking the FCC to approve a change in ownership in Odyssey without the FCC running its normal statutorily required process. He says, don't do it. Soros investment firm became the largest shareholder of Odyssey last month, which owns local radio stations across the country. So Dalton and I wake up one time in a nightmare, and George Soros is our is our boss.
Never going to happen. Not a chance. That's one of the many great things about being a locally owned small business.
Hang in there, Sean.
Yeah, we only have, I guess, one person to answer to, and he seems to be pretty cool with whatever we do. So he just wants us to speak our minds. And, you know, whatever Soros plans to do with all this, whether it's, you know, subliminal messaging or what have you, if the move is to make progressive talk radio fun or growing bigger listeners, I don't see how.
No, I think you're on it. I think you're on it. It'll be in the messaging. It'll be in the pre-recorded messaging, the commercials and things like that. No one's paying, except here, no one's paying people to be live and talk on their radio station. Very few stations are doing that. I mean, when I was over at iHeart, mm-hmm. I mean, everything was scaling back and everything. We could record anytime, day or night, and do our thing, and it wasn't live radio. So that and many of the voices you heard weren't even from the market. So
yeah.
I would think you're going to run it on the cheap, but how do you get that subliminal message out or the messages you want out?
Yeah.
It would be in PSAs, commercials,
news
for sure. And that'd be the way to do it.
Yeah. Or maybe, you know, it's just a business decision and he has no ulterior motives.
Yeah.
that's what the Soros thing is.
Exactly what it is.
Ben says, vulgar language spray painted on the asphalt, huh? My first suspect would be the Mobile Police Department because of all of the talk of the dirty words that came out in the report. Gardner says, Clinton's best advertising. It's the economy, stupid. Yeah, James Carville said it over and over and over again. Economy, I think, will play a much – it's not as sexy to talk about. And Leo said, go ahead and say it, Bidenomics. Yeah, I haven't said Bidenomics in some time, and neither has Joe Biden. I think they kind of took that one and threw it in the trash.
That's how about speaking of talking points, Biden said pause during when he was reading the
teleprompter,
and the teleprompter said for him to pause.
And so he said, 4 more years.
Pause.
Great stuff there.
All right. That's Commander-in-Chief. 8:30, Dan and Dalton and Rob with Lanyap. What to talk about? That's on the way next. Good morning from Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5, Mobile Mornings, Nimbor Show. Thank you for listening. As the ratings show more and more, you're listening every day. We appreciate that. Let's turn it over to Rob Holbert from Lagniappe Mobile right now. Rob, lots going on around here for sure, and Lagniappe's all over all of it.
Yeah, there's a lot happening these days. Been busy.
Yeah, you've had your staff working hard on all the every angle of this massive story in Mobile, and we'll get to that. But I think maybe a story that's more disconcerting we could start with, and that's PETA. Once again, trying to get involved in our traditions down here in South Alabama. And so PETA asked the Floribama nicely. I don't know if they asked nicely or
I
not.
I think they did. If you look at the press release, it was seemed to be very nice. Like, we'd also like to attend. We'd like to be there.
Yeah. Did they really ask if we could throw rubber mullet instead of the real thing out there?
That's what it seemed like. They said they would actually provide, I think.
Yep.
They said they would provide the rubber mullet. I don't know where you find a rubber mullet, but it's not an easy item to acquire.
Well, apparently they've got a stockpile.
I don't think there's a lot of chance of that happening, but they don't like the throwing of dead fish, you know?
Yeah, and as I think it was Sergeant John Young. He was on earlier this week when Sean was talking about it. He said, well, the rubber fish wouldn't necessarily be good for the environment either.
It probably would not be, you know, top quality for the environment. You end up in the landfills and what have you and floating in the bay. I don't know.
PETA, I mean, they week after week provide us with all kinds of material here at FM Talk 106.5, so I am thankful for them for that.
Well,
they kind of adopted this new sort of, like, you know, they used to throw blood on you and get angry, but now it's sort of this clownish type of way of getting attention.
Yeah, tongue in cheek.
At least it's a little funnier than it used to be.
Yeah, they weren't a barrel full of monkeys back in the day. I guess for PETA, they would never put a monkey in a barrel. So
supposedly these mullet are taken and then fed to alligators. So,
yeah.
You know, it's not like they're not just, you know, killed and then left to rot or whatever. I'm sure the seagulls get a fair amount of them too.
Yeah, I mean, they take them to the Gators at their preserve there, and they take them to the Gulf Coast Zoo. So, PETA,
I don't think we have a mullet shortage. I think we're okay.
Yeah, and PETA wants those other animals to starve, clearly.
By the way,
that seems to be the main thing here.
Tomorrow we will talk with Floribama's Jennifer Parnell about Floribama's ultimate decision, whether they're going to take PETA up on that.
I have a feeling I know what it's going to be.
Yeah, I know. We're just going to talk to her for the fun of it.
So, Rob, let's get right into it. As it seems like we've been talking about this for a very long time, but really it's only been 2 weeks and some change since Police Chief Paul Prine was placed on administrative leave.
And the reason is Prine hit the ground running.
He did.
You know?
That night, he began speaking with the media, and then you had the mayor speaking with the media following that and putting out his version of events. City Council is kind of like, we don't really know exactly what's going on. We probably need to investigate these claims that Prine is making. And then the report comes out this week from former U.S. Attorney Kenyon Brown. You guys are covering every angle of this right now, Rob. Just kind of your overall thoughts on the disagreement and then this report and whether it'll have wide-ranging effects.
Well, I think the thing that maybe some people are under a misconception of is that the protests and things like that outside, you know, the protesting for Prine or these things are going to quote-unquote save his job. That's not happening. He's going to be gone. They don't. This relationship is broken. Mm-hmm. You know, it's done. You know what the report from Kenyon Brown suggests is that there are a number of things from the city in the city's policies that are antiquated. There were things that they were doing, and it's primarily focused on these four incidents in which people were killed by police in the last year. And you know, so you've got a look at that, basically saying that, hey, you know, these policies haven't changed in 10 years, which, you know, that doesn't just fall on Paul Prine. That falls on the heads of the people who've been in charge for the last 10 years, I think, that things haven't been updated. Now, the police department came out and put it, the acting chief at this point, Randy Jackson, he came out and said yesterday basically that they have some disagreements with the report, et cetera. You know, they would support, you know, continue to support officers, et cetera. So, I think there's going to be some debate about that. Do I think there's going to be wholesale changes? I don't know. I mean, the department really pushed back against the city council doing away with these early morning raids and that kind of stuff, which has led to a couple of these deaths. And so the department pushed back, Prime pushed back against that. I think there's going to be some effort to revisit those things and say, hey, we're not doing that. And, that's where Brown, I mean, what he found primarily is that a lot of these policies are the issues that really exist there. The city council is looking at some of the other things, like the group that they brought in to, this group 321Z, mm-hmm. that was brought in to do a review of the ShotSpotter, and it's kind of, that program looks strange. I mean, it is just kind of bizarre, and to have the head of the program write to the report and have it come back from them as a quote-unquote peer-reviewed report written as if it came from that group, and it was written by Lazy, who's the head of the ShotSpotter, who's over ShotSpotter. So those things are strange, and I don't think that really matches up with what I consider peer review, or what I know to be peer review, or what, and when we've done a story about it, what some other law enforcement organizations say that peer review should be. So I think those are things that council might focus on, but I don't know that it's going to be a massive sea change. I mean, other than this relationship is just broken, and it's just odd to have a police chief come out and blast the city that way. When these things end, when those relationships end, it's unusual to have this happen.
It doesn't totally excuse his allegations, obviously. There was some weird stuff going on there. Let me ask you this, Rob. Within the police department itself, what is the support or lack thereof for Prine? How do the rank and file feel about the guy?
I mean, honestly, Dan, I don't know how the average officer feels about him or not. Certainly there's some support for him. There may be others that don't support him. I don't really have a clue on how, the hundreds of officers out there all feel about him.
Sure.
It's, I think that what is very clear is that there's been a difficulty with him and the administration for some time. They've had some issues with each other for a while, not just these reports. So, do I think that they, had a poor relationship ahead of time? Yeah, I think they did. And I think there's been an effort to get rid of him. And it just kind of, I think it went sideways in the way they've done it. And, and some of it is just, I do think that when you look at the things like that ShotSpotter report, it's a little troubling.
Mm-hmm. Talk with Rob Holbert, Lanyap, lanyapmobile.com. And another thing that Prine brought up, and it seems to be bringing it up with more regularity, while initially we were talking about ShotSpotter in the Gulf Coast Tech Center, he keeps bringing up this Project Thrive and the association that Kenyon Brown has, being on the same board with, I believe, James Barber. And
right.
I'm not sure.
Both directors, yeah.
They're both direct. I'm not sure whether, I mean, it is strange that if you did want an objective third-party review, that you couldn't find someone who wasn't on the same board as your director of
public safety. Yeah, I think those are questions the city council, they need to look at, whether those things are appropriate. I think that's something that the city council will hopefully take seriously and look at, because while I think Kenyon Brown is a great guy and have no reason to think that he would do anything inappropriate, it isn't exactly, there's not really, the degree of separation isn't great.
Mm-hmm.
In that kind of thing, and when you have friendships and that creates, there's some confirmation bias possibly at times with those things. I mean, he laid it on the city, and Barbara's been the chief of police and the head of public safety and now the chief of staff. So, I mean, those things that he's talking about that have been there for 10 years, you know, Jim Barber owns some of that. So I don't think that there's, you know, it didn't look to me like he was saying, hey, you know, I'm trying to find a way to not have Jim be, you know, part of this. And I don't think it also was laid off completely on Prine.
Yeah. And, you know, let's talk about, you know, what's important going forward, and whatever side you're on, if you did pick a side between the city and
the information's so murky, it's hard to be on a side.
Well, if where do we go from here? Because I have trouble, you know, law enforcement, it's already an incredibly difficult job to get people hired. It's a thankless job in many cases. And MPD, while they've kind of stemmed the losses that the force has seen for some time now, this report just absolutely, I mean, blasted them, and it blasted everybody, including officers. I have trouble seeing how this will make policing
in the city
more that more people would want to work with the MPD because, you know, but also how's this going to help us with the crime problem overall? And, you know,
it's some areas that there are problems, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I think that, I mean, police chiefs get fired. That happens. You know, that happens all the time. You know, when you're a police chief and you've had four deaths in a year's time in circumstances that basically, as Brown said, you know, most of these didn't have that, you know, these were circumstances that didn't have to be this way. Those don't look good, and it's hard for a police chief to survive something like that, I think. And, you know, so the concept that everything was hunky-dory over there and the city's coming down on the greatest police chief we've ever had, I don't know that I'd necessarily get with that either. You know, there's definitely some issues over there. You know, are there issues with the way it was handled? I think that there's certainly things to look at, that there are questions there that are have not really been answered. And I think the city council needs to look at it. But, I mean, there's some stuff that needs to be taken care of. And, I mean, you know, updating some of the policies. And you know, I think that the concept of breaking into people's homes at 4 in the morning when you're not even sure if the person you're looking for is there, that is just ample opportunity.
Nope. You there?
And it has proven to be. You know, that's the thing. I mean, to me, it's like, if you don't know they're there, if you just think they might be there and you're kicking in the door at 4 in the morning, geez, what happens? Well, people get shot.
What about the effect this will have on the mayor and the city? Because there are a lot of people who are incredibly upset with the way this was handled. And I don't know if he planned on running again in 2025, but I imagine through all of this, he's lost quite a bit of support.
You know, I mean, I think my feeling is that he probably is going to run again. That's my guess. I don't know how much support he lost. I don't know if it's just a loud group of people who are upset, or if that's going to. I mean, obviously, that also depends on who runs against him. And you know, I don't. Mm-hmm. It doesn't help. But you know, when you're in office 12 years, there are going to be issues. And you know, this is probably the biggest thing that they've dealt with over there. It's probably one of the biggest problems they've had in that amount of time. This has certainly put them in a different position than they've been in. There's a lot more media coverage. There's a lot more negative commentary. I think some of the things that happened were not helped by their response to it. It was slow, and it was, you know, it wasn't really accurate at first. There were some things that weren't terribly accurate that were said. And then it's also a little bit, there's a lot of pushback. And so, you know, I think those issues are things that they're dealing with. You know, is it going to hurt him long term in an election? I don't know. Mm-hmm. He's done a good job in a lot of areas. I mean, overall, I would say that Sandy's done a terrific job as mayor. I mean, there are certainly things that anybody could do better, and this is not a great moment for him. But at the end of the day, you know, is somebody else better suited? I don't know. It's, you know, that you got to see who's going to run. I mean, I think he's still in pretty. He'd be the horse that you'd bet on at first, I think.
Okay, one last question, Rob. Considering council, this city council, obviously it's all these individuals, but just as a body, do you think they're more motivated with finding the truth or more motivated with just letting this thing go away?
We'll have to see. I don't know how tough they're going to be on this. I don't know. I don't have a sense of it.
I don't either.
We have to see what they're going to do. I mean, there are things there that I think are certainly questionable, but primarily things are related to that paper, that review, things related to, whether it was appropriate to pick Kenyon Brown or not, just because of the relationship. I know nobody wants to say anything negative about Kenyon, and I don't think I don't look at the report and say there was anything negative there to look at from what he turned in, but just the question of, is it appropriate to pick somebody that's that close to people in the city? I don't, those are things the council ought to look at. But I think they need to look at the police department in terms of updating policies and why haven't they been updated? Hopefully they'll look at that. I don't know that there's one. We will have to see when it happens, whether it's going to just end with a fizzle or there's going to be some actual changes that come from this.
Well, believe it or not, there was plenty else for Lagniappe to talk about and write about this week, and it's all in the latest edition of Lagniappe and On Stands Now. And when we talk this time next week, you'll be rounding up the votes as the Nappy finals begin in May. So a lot going on over at lagniappemobile.com and votenappies.com.
That's right. The craziness is about to begin on Wednesday. So, the voting will come in. We've got there's a list out there of the finalists, and voting will start coming Wednesday, so it'll get nuts. So if people want to get signed up and get subscribed, just go to lagniappemobile.com. It's $1 for the first month and $6.50 a month after that to see all the news. Putting stuff out every day.
Thank you, Rob. Appreciate it, and appreciate what you guys do, because you're it. Okay, it's 8:52 on FM Talk 106.5.
And Mobile Mornings continues after this. We'll talk about who Jeff Poor has coming up on his show. Plus, coming up, your chance to win tickets to see Judas Priest next month.
Not yet a part of George Soros Radio. We are Dan and Dalton on Mobile Mornings on FM Talk 106.5. Not everybody's going to be able to say that here soon.
I know.
400 stations at a time. Oh, boy.
Will his name be on the checks that he writes? I don't know.
Man, I mean, once he buys Froggy and McAllister in the morning out in Iowa City, those guys will... We're going to find new marching orders. I hope they're comfortable with it.
Yeah, I guess so. Coming up next, the Jeff Poor Show. He'll be on beginning at 9, and then Midday Mobile later on today at noon. This headline caught my eye. So Turks and Caicos, which I've always thought was just a kind of a tourist resort kind of place, apparently beefed up their laws on ammunition, like being in your packed luggage if you go down there.
Okay.
Now, a man from Oklahoma is facing up to 12 years in prison just because he had ammunition in his carry-on bag. He didn't have a firearm, just ammo. Ryan and Valerie Watson, they were flying home from their island vacation, and April 12th, they were arrested at the Turks and Caicos Airport. And on their GoFundMe that they put up, said they had their lives turned upside down when they tried to return home. Local security found 4 rounds of ammunition unknowingly left in a duffel bag from a deer hunting trip. TSA didn't notice it when they left America, and now he is still in jail.
Wow.
Turks and Caicos. The U.S. Embassy in the Bahamas issued a travel alert last year telling Americans to not bring ammunition to the islands, but this was just a mistake. I mean, yeah. 4 rounds. And they put him under arrest, and she was able to get out. They arrested her, too, and I think she was able to fly home and tell the story. But he's due back June 7th for a hearing. Just seems ridiculous to me. But
me, too.
It's another country. It's their laws, so we'll see how that plays out. Someone who doesn't follow the law would be Judas Priest. They tell you explicitly in some of their songs, and they're coming to the Mobile Civic Center Arena May 12th. You can buy tickets at the box office, but right now you can win tickets. Caller number 5-251-343-0106. Judas Priest, Mobile Civic Center Arena, May 12th. Caller number 5. The tickets are yours.